that separated me from Christ my Lord. It was so vast the crossing I could never ford. From where I was to his demand, it seemed so far. I cried, dear Lord, I cannot come to where you are. And he came to me. He came to me when I could not come to where he was. He came to me. That's why he died on Calvary. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. Came to me when I was bound in the chains of my sin. He came to me when I possessed no hope within. He picked me up and drew me gently to his side. And he came to me. He came to me when I could not come to where he was. He came to me. That's why he died on Calvary. When I could not come to where he was, he came to me. When I could not come to where Jesus was, he came to me.
Thank you, Brother Bruce Green. What a marvelous truth. If you could ever get a hold of that, I don't know how you could ever get over that. Because we could not go to where he was, he came to us. Some of you think he really stepped up when he came to us. But oh my soul, he who is everlasting, who was, is, and shall always be, bound himself in flesh, left the ivory palaces of glory, purity, holiness, where all of the heavenly beings cried, "Holy, holy, holy," as they worshiped him around the throne. And he stepped out of all of that to come down to the filth of this old world. Not to be born in a mansion or a palace, but be born in a stable. Not to be in a place that was pure and clean, but to come into a world of sin and wickedness and ungodliness. Not coming to a place where he would be loved and worshiped, but coming to a place where They rejected Him and cursed Him and spat upon Him and finally cried, "Crucify Him, crucify Him." He knew all of that before He ever left, and yet He came to us, for us, because He loved us. That leads me to my message this morning, the fourth message in the series, Trying to Fathom the Unfathomable, the love of God. The love of God. Open your Bible to 1 John chapter 4 and Galatians chapter 2. 1 John chapter 4 and Galatians chapter 2. We will begin to read in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9. Read 9 and 10 and then skip over to Galatians chapter 2 and read verse 20. If you found 1 John chapter 4, would you stand out of love and respect for the Word of God? And we shall begin to read in verse number 9. The Bible says, "In this was manifest the love of God toward us." Notice that statement. The love of God toward us. "Because God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice, the complete and forever payment for our sins." Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Heavenly Father, help me this morning as I conclude this series on trying to fathom the unfathomable, God's love. Lord, if we're going to understand anything about God's love, we've got to understand that it was directed for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Help us, Lord Jesus, this morning as Your children to grow in this understanding, to grow in this great truth, to grow in the fact that God loved me and gave Himself for me. While I was still a sinner, He loved me. Now fill me with Thy Spirit. Speak to our hearts. Save the unsaved here in this service today, and save every unsaved person anywhere on this property that's listening to the Word of God, whether it be in a children's church or in our Spanish department or in this auditorium or listening by way of the internet. Save the unsaved today, we beg it. And then, Father, there are those who have been saved and have never followed You in believers' baptism after they got saved. Lord, help them to understand clearly that's the first thing You ask every new convert to do. It's our public profession of faith. It's declaring unto God and to the devil and to the world that we have put our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And then, Heavenly Father, there are saved people here today that don't have a church home. Lord, they need a church like this one. A church where the Bible is preached, the songs are sung that lift up Jesus Christ. A place where people can grow in grace. A place where sinners can be saved. A place where the gospel is sent out to the uttermost part of the earth. Speak to their hearts today. Add to our church. And then, Father, there are some here that are saved that have kind of slipped over the last weeks or months. They've let things get them down and they've let things distract them. They're no longer where they ought to be or doing what they ought to be doing, and yet somehow they focused on self instead of the will of God and the love of God that's been shed on them. Let this be a day when they come back. Get back in that place where they make Christ preeminent in all things. And we love you and we need you. Lord, if there's a prodigal here today, let him know you love him. Help them to come back to the Father. And we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It's exceedingly clear in the Word of God that God loved us and gave Himself for us. I'm happy to tell you this morning that God not only loved us, He still loves us. Passing time cannot change the love of God for this old world or His children in this world. Now let me emphasize this morning that the greatest discovery of all time is the fact that God loves us. And the greatest discovery I've ever made in my life is that God loves me. I hope you know that today and you've settled it. As a young man, the songwriter P.P. Bliss wrote the song, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." As he grew older in the Lord, he realized how insignificant his love was to God compared to God's love for him. And then he wrote the song, "Jesus Loves Even Me." If we're completely honest with ourselves and our God today, we'd have to confess how little we truly love Him and show it in our life. However, our love for God is not the main point of my message today, but rather it's God's love for us. Mrs. Smith and I have three daughters. When each of my three daughters were born, as quickly as I could, I held them in my arms, I kissed them, I thanked God for them, and I dedicated them to God, and I told them, "I love you." They knew nothing about me loving them. As their father, or Mrs. Smith as their mother, they knew nothing about it, but we surely did love them. That's the way it is with God and us. Our love for God may be very little at this point in our life, but make no mistake about it, He who spared not His only Son on Calvary loves us. As my daughters grew older, they grew to know Mom and Dad, and they grew in their love for us. But through the passing years, we've grown even more in our love for them. And so it is with us and God. Today in our closing message in the series, Trying to Fathom the Unfathomable, God's Love, I want you to consider four simple facts about God's love. Fact number one, God loved us in spite of our sins. Son, you sit up and look at me. This is nap time, right? God loved us in spite of our sin. Brother Ben, I wasn't talking to you. I'm glad he straightened up. God loved us in spite of our sins. Romans 5:8. I love this verse, but God commended. He proved, He extended, He showed His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Don't you ever get to the place you think that God loves you because of you. No, God loves you and me in spite of us. While we were yet sinners, while we deserved nothing but judgment and wrath and hell, God loved us and gave His Son Jesus for us. While we were living in our sin and breaking every law of God, He was loving us in spite of our sins. While we continued to ignore Him and His will, He was loving us and even praying for us. John chapter 17, We read in there where the Lord is praying, and he's praying in that prayer not just for them that had been saved, but them that would be saved. He was loving us and praying for us while we were still in our sins, and he loved us all the way to Calvary. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." While we deserved the most horrible of all judgment in hell, God was loving us in spite of our sin and purchasing a gift for us called eternal life through Jesus Christ, his Son. Just as the devil is condemned to an eternity in the lake of fire, so is every sinner condemned to that lake of fire who has never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. While we were living without God, God was loving us and making provision for our salvation. I must say again, God loved us in spite of our sin. Be it known to all of mankind, Jesus Christ did not come into this world to save the righteous, but he came to save sinners. You must not forget that God loved me and you, not because of us, but in spite of our sins, in spite of us. You know, we love God with the because of kind of love. The psalmist said, "I love the Lord because." Boy, it would do us all good to make a list of the reasons why we love God. How long would your list be? Would you be able to put down a list? Is there anything that would go on that list? God loved us in spite of us. Secondly, God loved us and he still loves us on the merits of grace alone. He loved us and still loves us on the merit of grace alone. What a man could not develop this concept. We'd love him because he does something for us, or them because they do something for us, and if they didn't, we wouldn't love them. But God loved us on the merits of grace alone. God gave us something we did not deserve. Grace. He loved us while we were yet sinners. Like Paul said in Ephesians 2, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself." The grace is not of our doing. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Because God's love for us is on the merit of grace alone, it means that he loves us all with the same saving love. Well, he's got the same saving love available to anyone in here. He loves us on the merits of grace alone. Understand clearly that God's love for us does not mean that all sinners everywhere will be saved. No, that's not what it means. But I do mean that you understand that all sinners everywhere can be saved through faith because of the merit of God's love by grace alone. God's love for us has made a way for us to be saved. His love for us is a drawing love, according to Jeremiah. Now it's up to me and you to accept the drawing of God's love and the Holy Spirit of God. It's up to me and you to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. Well, the Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. Now again, that verse does not say everybody's going to be saved, but it says it's God's will that all of us come to him by repentance, that we not perish. God didn't make us for hell. God has provided a way for every one and any one of us to be saved. but not without coming to Him through Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And I've got to ask you, have you accepted Jesus Christ, God's love gift for us? Have you accepted Him as your Savior? If not, then I want you to know today, you can't go to heaven like you are. You're still lost and without God in your sin. God loved us, but it'll do you no good until you accept His Son, Jesus Christ. His love has provided a way whereby sinners can be saved. But you've got to make that decision. You say, but I don't know if I can. If you want to be saved, if you'll just use what faith you have to call upon Him, believing upon Him, God said He'd save you. After all, faith is the gift of God, and He's going to give you enough to trust Him, to accept Him. Don't doubt God's gift. It's not the devil that put that desire in your heart to want to go to heaven, want to be saved. It's God. God's drawing you. God's speaking to your heart. God's love is wooing you to accept Him as your Savior. Then may I say, third place, God loved us through Jesus Christ, His Son. God loved us through Jesus Christ, His Son. 1 John 4:9-10 that we read early, in this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. That verse means that God loved us and already has paid the price for your salvation. If you don't get saved, if you don't accept God, you can't blame God, you can't blame anybody else. God's already paid the price. He's already loved you. He's already wooed you. He's already put you in a place where you can hear the Word of God. It's your choice to accept Him now or to reject Him. God has already proven His love for us on the top of Mount Calvary. Because of love for a spouse or a child, a few people have given their lives to save them from some fire or disaster. But never before or since Calvary has one given their life for those who hated them and wanted to kill them. But Jesus did. Don't try to tell me that you loved God and Jesus before you got saved. No, we'd have been in that crowd crying, "Crucify Him, crucify Him." We love Him because He first loved us. Listen to what I'm about to say. Love is always measured by the extent of sacrifice made on behalf of the one being loved. I don't have any problem understanding God's love for me. I can see His sacrifice on Calvary for me. He proved His love. What is there in your life that could be called a sacrifice in any shape, form, or fashion that says you love Jesus? You see, we want this thing to just go one way. We want God to love us and sacrifice for us. But we want our love to be easy love, love without a cost. And I'm here to tell you, love's always connected with a cost. And love is always measured by the extent of sacrifice made in behalf of the one being loved. Don't tell me you love God and you never show up at His house. Don't tell me you love God, you never read His book. Don't tell me you love God and you never give a tithe or an offering. Don't tell me how much you love God and you're not faithful to Sunday school or church. Don't tell me you love God and you're doing nothing to try to get other people saved. Our love for Him is going to be shown by our sacrifice of self and time for Him, serving Him, worshiping Him, and if you please, loving Him. And I pull back and do nothing, and I just make it comfortable and convenient for me. All I'm saying is that I love me. I wish you could get a hold of that thought and not forget it. Love is always measured by the extent of sacrifice made on behalf of the one being loved. It was God's own Son that became God's payment for our sin. It was our sin and condemnation that put Jesus on that cross. He loved me. He loved me. He loved me, this I know. He loved me and gave Himself to die for me because He loved me so. What in your life or mine tells those around you that you love Jesus? Lastly, God loved us for a purpose in His plan and will. God loved us for a purpose in His plan and will. I want to give you just three quickly. Number one, He loved us in order that He might save us. He might save our wretched and hell-deserving soul. See, without Jesus as Savior, we're condemned to hell and the eternal damnation that we deserve. In fact, the Bible says, without Jesus, we are condemned already because we have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So He loved us for the purpose of saving our wretched, hell-deserving soul. The reason for Calvary and Jesus dying was to provide complete and eternal salvation for a wicked, hell-deserving soul, that's me and you, that God didn't create for hell. He created for Himself. Now let me ask you to do something in your spare time. List all the benefits of your salvation. Stop and think about it. They're wonderful and they are many. But the reason God loved us through Jesus Christ was to save us from an eternity in that place called hell. The greatest crime a person can commit against God is to live their life and never accept Christ as their Savior. And let me say to you, it is unpardonable. It leaves us without hope. The second thing, God loved us for a purpose in His plan and will. God loved us and saved us to glorify Him. You see, it's not just about you. God created us for Him, so that we could love Him and glorify Him. Sin separated us from God, Romans 3. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've fallen short of the purpose of God in our creation. Sin made it impossible for us to glorify God in our life. However, Jesus on Calvary made it possible in redemption for us to be reconciled to God and God to us, and that all our sins be forgiven, blotted out, and never be remembered again by God against us, thus putting us in the place where once again, being saved, we can glorify God with our life. Is your life glorifying God? Some of you say, well, He saved me from hell. That's all I want. You selfish, sorry individual. God not only saved you from hell, but He saved you and brought you back to that place in redemption where you could give glory and praise and honor and love to His name. The sad thing about Christianity is so much of the love in Christianity is one way, from God to us, and not from us to Him. If you love Him, you'll want to live in such a way you can glorify Him and honor Him with your life. And I submit to you that as a Christian, if you're not living in such a way to honor and glorifying Him with your life, your love for your spouse is probably doing nothing to prove your love for her or him either. And let me say, lastly, under this heading, God loved us for a purpose in His plan and will. God loved us and saved us so we could fulfill His purpose in our creation. Now God said in Isaiah 43:7, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory." God created us for His glory. Now, when God created you, He not only created you for His glory, but He created you for a purpose and a plan in His will. I want you to stop and think for a moment. God does not look at you as one of almost 7 billion people on planet Earth. He looks at you personally and individually. He has a personal and individual salvation for us. But He also has a personal and individual will for your life and mine. And God created us to fulfill that purpose and that place that He's planned for us in His will. Now let me say this to you also. God's plan and purpose for our Christian life is not just about things. It has to do with people. Every preacher or missionary God calls, He has a people in mind for them when He calls them. Every Sunday school teacher, He has a people in mind for you. Every Christian, there is people that you can help and love and encourage and influence through Christ Jesus. But God has a will and purpose for your life. Some of you young people think that God created you so you could just have fun in your teenage years. But God wants those teenage years to be devoted to Him. The only teenage years you'll ever have, don't steal them from God. Don't give them to the devil and then offer God the leftovers of your life. He deserves the very best of your life. He deserves first place in your life. Our sinful and lost condition made it impossible for us to fulfill the will of God. Without Christ, we cannot walk with God or love God while still living in our sin. Jesus said plainly in Matthew 6:24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold the one and despise the other." You can't love the world and love God at the same time. Jesus said it. I didn't. I'm repeating what He said. And He's written it down in His unchanging book called the Bible. Now, He loved us and He wants us to love Him. But we can't share our love with the devil and the world and sin and give God a little. If He don't rule on the heart of the throne of your heart, He's not ruling at all in your life. God's not willing to take second place. He's not willing to be your co-pilot. He wants the preeminent place. He wants the pilot seat. He wants to be Lord over all things of your life, in all things that He might have the preeminence. And He saved you. He created you and He saved you to fulfill your place in His plan and purpose. And may I say, part of that plan and purpose for your Christian life is to have a part in going to all the world with the gospel. Whether it be your personal witness here at home, it must be your personal witness here at home, and sending missionaries where you cannot go. That's a part of God's plan and will for your life. God intends for us to be faithful in His local church where we live and where we are and serve Him with all our heart and tell people around us about Jesus and then send out the gospel where we cannot go. And you can't live in the will of God for your life and ignore that. But part of God's redemption plan was that we might fulfill His plan and purpose. That's one of the ways that we can say we love Him, being faithful for what He created us and saved us to do. Well, let me finish. You've been very attentive. Dear sinner, have you trusted Jesus Christ to be your Savior yet? If not, why not? For heaven's sake, why not? There's no other Savior, there's no other way, there's no other time for you to be saved except here in this life. You don't have a certainty for tomorrow. Neither is there salvation in any other. So why don't you settle it and accept Him now, today, while you have opportunity? If you have accepted Him as Savior, are you serving Him? Are you living out your life in His will, His plan for you? Do you worship Him faithfully? Do you come only when it's convenient? You know, if I love Him, I don't want to be late to His worship services. I don't want to sit out my opportunities to serve Him and praise Him and worship Him. We'll never here on earth be able to completely fathom the love of God for us. We can receive it by receiving Jesus Christ as His Savior. And the best of our ability, we can live and worship and serve in such a way that says back to God, I love You. Are you? Why not? One of these days, this is all going to be over. One of these days, everything you're putting your trust in this world is going to be burnt up. One of these days, we're going to have to stand before Jesus Christ. And there we'll see the nail scars in His hands and feet and side. And there our mind will flash back to the fact that while we were yet sinners, He loved us and gave Himself for us. Will you stand before Him with anything at all from your life that says, Jesus, I love You? You start it by accepting the love gift of God, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. That's where it all begins. Father, thank You for the simple truths that we've tried to convey, though we've tried to make them simple and plain. They're really so great that we'll never be able to understand them completely this side of heaven. But I thank You, O God, that You've made it possible for sinners to be saved. Undeserving as we are, You've made it possible for us to be saved. And then You've given us the opportunity to love You in such a way, to magnify You and honor You and glorify You with our life. Oh, Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts. Speak to our hearts. Help us not to be so casual that we get up and walk out thinking nothing of this invitation. And even if we ourselves do not need to come, we ought to be praying for others that do need to come. Oh God, I'm asking You to save sinners today and add to the church and bring great conviction upon the hearts of Your children. Let us look into our heart and life and ask the question, what am I doing that says to God, I love You? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking around. Please, no one getting up and leaving. I wonder how many of you can say with honesty in your heart, preacher, I'm saved and I know it. Why, there's no doubt about it. If I should die right now, I know that heaven's